Okay. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Write the vision and make it clear so that whoever sees it might run. Verse 3. For the vision is set yet for an appropriate time or an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. Why? Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we pray today for the word that you have put before us today. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray for insight. Lord Jesus, I pray that this morning you'd reveal your heart to us. We pray that you'd come, Holy Spirit, and enable us to understand what's on the heart of the Father. We give you praise and give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me start off today by saying, in the absence of a clear vision, you will live your life by default and not by design. In the absence of a clear vision, you will live your life by default and not by design. What do I mean by that? You wake up in the morning, you don't have a plan for the day. Somebody will make a plan for you. You have a month where you do not have targets. You don't have deliverables. Your diary is empty. Somebody will fill up the diary for you. They will ask you, there's a party going on. Come join us. You will go. Why? Because your life is aimless. And that is why I'm saying this morning, in the absence of a clear vision, you will live by default and not by design. And people who live by default cannot live up to a meaningful life. Why? Because you go with the flow. When it is easy, you do it. When it is exciting, you get excited. But when you live by design, whether it's exciting or it's boring, you keep at it because there is a design in what you're doing. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you living your life by default or by design? I normally say to the guys, there is a plan behind all this madness. There is a plan behind all this madness. Whatever we're doing right, there is a plan to it. There is an end game. What is the end game for your life? When you wake up in the morning, what is the end date and end game for the day? Are you able to go back into your bed in the evening and say, it was a productive day? The reason why you're able to say it was a productive day, it is because you had a to-do list. And at least out of the five, you're able to do three of them. Come on now. Living your life by design and not by default. Are you married? Is there a design to your marriage? Is there a vision to your marriage? Or whatever happens, happens. We don't plan dates. We don't plan nights out by ourselves. We just like, well, the kids came, and therefore, well, they determine what we do. You live your life by default. Now, if this aspect is so important for you as an individual, I am sure it is so important for any organization. It is important for any organization. And that is why today, I am so excited that you are here with me. Because I'm going to be talking to you on the God Church vision. This morning, I'm going to take some time to unpack who we are and why we do what we do. I was praying in the week and I was saying, Lord, you know there are certain people that need to hear this. Bring them to church. And the fact that you came today is because God wants you to hear what I'm going to share with you. Amen. And I want you to be excited about it. Hallelujah. I am excited about this because it is about who we are as a church. Now, this morning, if someone comes to you and asks you, what are you guys all about at Go Church? What will you say? Do you have an answer to that? We've been around for a number of years, 5 years. The question is, are you able to answer that question as to what are you guys all about? I see you going up and down the stairs, going up to that upper room at Woodhill Park Shopping Center. What do you do upstairs? Will you be able to answer that question? If you are not able to answer, it's a reflection of two things. One, of my failure to articulate the vision of the church. And that is the first point. I must take ownership of the fact that I haven't been able to expound the vision as to who we are, and that's the reason why you might not be able to say it out. Or you might not have been paying attention. The sword cuts both ways. Now, if any organization wants to reach its potential, we must ensure that everyone sings from the same hymn sheet. We must all understand where we're going, otherwise we'll be pulling in different directions. Can you imagine mom and dad having different views on how they should raise their children? And you know what happens? The children will play, would pit mom against dad. They know that mom is very strict when it comes to watching TV. And therefore, I go to papa because if I go to him, he says yes. Right? It means that mom and dad don't have agreement here around how many hours the children should be watching TV. Now, I want you to realize this morning, put this down, if you don't know who you are, you try to become everything to everyone. If you don't know who you are, you try to become everything to everybody. When they come into your life, you want to be their psychologist, you want to be their doctor, you want to be their coach, you want to be their friend, you want to be their wife. You can't be everything to everybody. Come on now. You have to understand who you are in order to live a very focused life. And I'm saying to you this morning, you as an individual, you've got to get back to that place and to understanding of who you are. What has God called you to do? What race are you supposed to be running right now? Because if you don't run your race, you'll be surprised when you get at the end and you are told you've been running, but you've been running in the wrong race. Now, before we get into the vision of the church, let me unpack with you some principles around how to handle your own vision, how to handle a vision of an organization, how to handle the vision of this church. I'm going to try and preach very quickly before we get to the crux of today's talk. Number one, the vision must be written down. Do you have a written down vision? Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2. The Lord says, write the vision. Write the vision. Get into the discipline of writing stuff down. Why? What is not written down will die a natural death. You know, we overestimate our ability to remember things. We overestimate our ability to remember. And therefore, the Lord drops a word in your heart. You don't write it down. You think in 6 months' time you'll remember it. I'm not so sure. So be in the habit of writing down the vision. Write down the vision. Okay? Writing down something brings about clarity of thought. And therefore, confusion is avoided. If you are dealing with a team, be it here at church or at work, ensure that you have your goals written down. Why? It helps you to measure progress. It helps you to evaluate whether you have hit the mark or you haven't. It enables you to give feedback. In our organization, we are writing down things. KPA is so that when somebody gets into a position, they know exactly what is expected of them. It is so important that you and I, hey, this is garbage. It doesn't make sense. Oh, wow. This is the real thing. This is who I am. That is the first thing. The vision must be written down. Number two, the vision must be clear. Okay? Is it as clear as mud? Okay, I don't know if mud is clear. But is it as clear as mud? It has to be so crystal clear that if somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night, you're able to say who you are. What's your life purpose? If you cannot state your life purpose in one sentence, it's not as clear. You've got to be able to write in one sentence, says, this is who I am. The vision must be clear. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says, write the vision and make it plain. It mustn't be mystical. It mustn't need interpretation of tongues. Why? Because it is very complicated. The vision has to be very, very simple in terms of its terminology, so that whoever reads it can do something about it. If you have a family vision, is the vision clear enough to be understood by both the youngest and the oldest? Do you have a family vision? This is so important, saints. You've got to have something that drives you as a family to say, this is our vision. We want whoever walks through these doors to experience comfort, to experience ease, to experience the joy of the Lord, just because you know what drives you. In our eating area, there are posters that are there. One of them says, in this house, we do hugs. In this house, we do, I'm sorry. In this house, we celebrate. In this house, this is what we do. And when we sit there for meals, it is written down. There must be something that distinguishes you from any other marriage, from any other family. Does somebody hear me this morning? Number three, the vision must inspire you to act. When you hear a vision, when you write down your vision, it must wake you up in the morning. If you are an inspiring business person, and you know my vision is, you know, God has called me to be a kingdom financier. You keep at it until you get to that point where you are able to finance the kingdom of God. Therefore, winter will not close you out. Rain will not stop you from rising up. If you are running a tuck shop, you will not say, today is cold for me to be running my spaza shop. No, you rise up in the morning, you open up that shop. Even if for the first 3 weeks nobody comes there, you are there. Until the community knows that there is a shop there. Come on now. I'm talking about a vision that inspires you to act. You've got a product that you believe in. People won't pay attention to you the first time you put it on Facebook. But the longer they see your adverts, the more their attention is drawn to that product. They will say, there must be something about this product. Why doesn't she give up on it? Come on now. This community should be able to say, why haven't they shut down that church? There must be something about it. Let's go and check it out. Let's go and see what they're up to. And then they will start coming. Does somebody hear me this morning? The vision must inspire you to act. That is why God says here, so that he may run who reads it. So that you may run when you hear what this vision is all about. Last point. The vision must be received with patience. Like they say, Rome was not built in a day. It's like giving birth to a picking into a baby. And you expect the baby already to know how to sweep the floor. No. You've got to allow this baby to go through their developmental stages. You've given birth to a child. You don't expect them to be able to chow oxtail immediately. No, allow them to drink milk for a season until they start biting you. Then you realize teeth has come out here. We need to give them something a bit more solid. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? I saw this picture on Facebook. A mother was saying, showing her child's first teeth. And she was like, there is no place that is as dangerous as this on earth. Something must have happened when that baby was having milk. Okay? I'm talking about being patient with the vision that God has given you. If God has given you a vision, you've got to wait on it. You've got to be patient with it. We are not looking for wine, fast by night. You know, this thing that's come once in a day and that's it. You won't see them again. When God has given you a vision, listen to me. You must be prepared to die for that vision. Otherwise, you are not ready to live for that vision. I'm going to repeat that. When God has given you a vision, you must be ready to lay down your life for it. Otherwise, you are not ready to live for it. And I want to say to you, what has God planted in your heart? Some of you here have got dreams and passions that are dead. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and awaken that thing. The Holy Ghost is coming in and shaking you up. He's going to be like the Spirit of the Lord speaking to Ezekiel saying, can these dry bones live again? Ezekiel, can these dry bones live again? Can this vision see the light of day? And you should be able to say, Lord, you know, you gave it to me. And the Lord will say, speak to the bones. Speak to the vision. Give mileage to this vision. Rise up and do something about it. Because my word will not come back to me void. My word will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord is saying. In Isaiah 55, it says, the same way that the rain comes down to the earth and causes the seed to bud and to rise up and to give seed to the eater and all of that, so shall be my word. It will not come back to me void. When you carry a vision from the Lord, man will run away from you, but that vision will stick. They will come back. That's my belief about this church, about what God has said about my life. You might not believe it, but I believe it so much. But one day you'll come back and say, look at what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you are a carrier of a God-given vision, it doesn't matter, even if they don't believe in it. They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of that place? They did not believe it until they saw the Messiah walking up on the earth, healing the sick, delivering the bound. Can anything good come out of you? Oh, yes, because the maker of heaven gave it to me. Glory be to God. The maker of heaven and earth gave it to me. He will give life to it in Jesus' name. All you want to do is to be patient. Wait on it. Why? It will not tarry. It will surely speak. I hope this is awaken something in your heart. I can hear the Lord saying, you need to start praying again about that thing. The Lord is saying to you, start praying again. You see, visions that are birthed in prayer can withstand the issues of life. I'm not talking about visions that are birthed out of being too full of food and things like that. No, I'm talking about a vision that is birthed on knees. The one who gave it to you will make it work. Glory be to God. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on His dreams for you. Let's talk about Go Church. Behind me here, I've got two banners. And these banners simply speak about who we are as a church. And for the coming 20 minutes, I want to just take you into the heart of this church. What is the mission of God's church? What is the mission of God Church? In other words, what is the heart of this community? Okay, if you can give me the following slide. Now, this is the question. When you talk about a mission, you're talking about your reason for existence, who you are. Who are we as God Church? It is so important that you understand who we are. So, in a nutshell, God Church is a movement, okay, very important. It is a movement of God honoring believers, progressively discipling nations by communicating and demonstrating the kingdom of God. That is what we are. That is what we live for. We are a movement of God honoring believers, progressively discipling nations by communicating and demonstrating the kingdom of God. It is so important that when you walk into this church, you realize what we're becoming and what God has called us to, is to become a God-honoring people. And I want to unpack that so that we understand this heart. We understand what drives us and what determines what we do and what we prioritize. Because in the absence of us understanding this, we will always be looking over the shoulders, looking over the wall, like, what are they doing at 3CI? What are they doing at CRSC? What are they doing at Bethesda? What are they doing at... No. We thank God for what they're doing, but what are you supposed to be doing? Does somebody hear me this morning? We are the body of Christ. And when you look at the body, it has different parts. You'd understand that not everything is a mouth. Not everything is a hand. And therefore, for the body to fully function, every body part has to function fully. And therefore, what God has called us to do here, we must be the best at it. Because the community depends on what we are supposed to offer. Who are we? That is the point. This is our identity. This is what distinguishes us from another church down the road. This is what draws certain people to this church. And this is what repels certain people from this church. I have to make peace with the fact that not everybody is meant to be here. Come on now. And therefore, when people leave, I must have that understanding. I must have that revelation. Lord, I thank you. They're not meant to be here. If they were meant to be here, they will come back. I know there are some who came back. Hallelujah. I won't mention them by name. Because God had called them here. And they realized this is where I'm supposed to be. And we praise Jesus for that. And when somebody comes to me and say, Pastor M, my time is up, I must be able to release. Why? Because maybe their season here is over. You know that you need to understand, if you overstay your welcome, trouble begins. You start picking offense where there shouldn't be any offense. You start saying, today the aircon was just too hot. Didn't they realize it? We were burning in that church. What's wrong with these ushers? And please, by the way, make sure the temperature is good. I don't want anybody to leave because of the temperature in the church. Come on now. Hey, the sound was horrible today. My ears were almost blowing. I was like, listen, man, I'm sorry. It was just today. Just be patient with me. We'll fix it. Unless 6 months down the road, the sound is still loud. I remember going somewhere. I won't mention where. But there I was in front. I was about to preach. There I was in front. And the volume. My. It was going, doo, 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 doo. And I could feel myself going dizzy. I sat down. Not because the anointing was strong, but because the volume was too high. I was like, Lord, I'm going to collapse here. Guys, let's be sensitive to that. Let's invest in proper equipment. We mustn't lose people because of the noise in the church. No, we refuse that. Hallelujah, somebody. Who are we? My wife, you know the story. Who are we? So this is the point. This is who we are. Give me the next slide. We are a movement of God honoring believers. In a nutshell, that is who we are. We are a movement of God honoring believers. What is a movement? It's not an individualistic thing. A movement is a group of people, all right, who are going towards a certain cause. That is why in our church, we don't have, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, this man of God syndrome, where it's about that man, the man in the front. No, 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 no. We value men of God, but we don't bow down before them. This church should continue in my absence. Glory be to God. Because we are a movement. I believe in the priesthood of believers, where each one of us here has got something to offer. When it comes to being able to lay hands on people, each one of us has the authority to do that. The Bible says you shall lay hands upon the sick and the sick shall be healed. It didn't say the man of God, go to his office in the corner office. He prays for you. You bring something for the anointing to flow. No. Jesus says freely you received, freely you shall give. And that's the church that we are. We are a movement of God-honoring believers. A movement is made up of people who know what the cause is. They are passionate about the cause. So we've got to be passionate about God-honoring. We've got to be passionate about being a community of believers that understand that our lives are bigger than what we see. There is Jehovah who watches over this community. We are a movement. We are ready to pay the price for the cause. We place value on both the individual and the movement and the community. Glory be to God. I want to know you. You know, we go through different ministries. And you might have gone through a ministry where there was power gap between you and the MOG, the man of God or the woman of God, and you are not able to see him because he's not available. There is power gap. I don't want that. I want you to know that anytime you're able to come through, you're able to phone me, I'm accessible to anybody in the church. Glory be to God. So my belief is that the shepherd smell like the sheep, and therefore dirty with you. Okay, inverted commas. Whoa. Don't misquote me. What I mean is, I want to get my hands dirty with you. I want to get into the trenches with you. That's what I mean. Come on now. Be thou renewed. Be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. Hallelujah. What I mean, let me put it in proper language. What I mean is that I want to know what's going on with Lisa's life. So that when I pray for Lizzie, I pray accurately. That is what I mean. When there's trouble in the house of JT, I want to get into the trouble with him. That's the whole point here about, yes, we are a movement, but I want to get into each other's life. We might not have gotten it right yet, but we will. The vision is for an appointed time. Glory be to God. This vision will speak. We've got to wait on it. We've got to work on it. One day it will speak. Now, we're speaking about a movement of God honoring believers. What does it mean to honor? How does honor look like? You see, the principle of honor has been thrown out of our lives. Very few of us understand what honor is. That is why in the coming weeks, God willing, I'm going to take you through a series on honor. How does honor look like? Now, honor is demonstrable through attitudes, affections, and actions that you direct towards a person. When we talk about honor, it is demonstrable through certain things, your attitude, your affections and your actions will speak to the matter of honor. You cannot say you honor your wife and yet on her birthday you forget that it's her birthday.
Oh, I haven't forgotten your birthday, have I? No, I haven't.
I'm talking about honor. So when you honor somebody, these three things, attitude, affection, and action, has to be aligned. And so what does it mean to honor God? Therefore, to honor God, give me that slide. Therefore, to honor God means to worship Him with your attitude, with your affections, and with your action. That is who we are. A God-honoring believer is somebody who worships God. His attitude is right. In other words, he comes before God and says, Lord, I bring everything. Take whatever you want. Here I am, Lord. I lay down my life to you. His attitude is not like, well, I've heard that song before. I'm going to wait for the next one to come. You fold your hands. No, you don't do that. You say, maybe the Lord wants to minister to me through that song. You open up your heart and say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me. Amen. Your action, when the Lord places a demand on you, you say, Lord, your wish is my command. What would you have me do? When you honor God and He says to you, forgive that brother, you will not say, I will not forgive until. I will not forgive until He sends me that message of saying, I'm sorry. You see, God does not say, forgive them when they say, I am sorry. No. Jesus says, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. That is the only time that the blood of Jesus loses its power to clean any sin. It's when you haven't forgiven. That's what the Bible says. It says, if you have not forgiven, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And yet the Bible says, the blood of Jesus washes us as clean as snow, right? As white as snow. But then it says, if you don't forgive, forget about the blood. Doesn't apply there. I'm talking about God honoring believers. That's our heartbeat. And therefore, in this church, whatever we do, it is done in the eye of honor. So our priority is to honor God. But I want you to realize it is impossible to honor God when you fail to honor people that you can see. And therefore, when I speak to you, I must speak as if I'm speaking to God. When I correct you, I must correct you knowing that God is watching over my words. In the book of the First John, the Bible says, how can you love the one you don't see and you fail to love the one you see? How can you say, well, leave me, I honor God, but you fail to honor your sister? You come, somebody lends you money. Okay? Somebody lends you money and you say, as soon as I am paid at the end of the month, I'm going to pay back. What honor does? As soon as you get that SMS that money has come into your account, immediately you pay. But you know what we do? We selectively remember certain things. And then on the 10th of the month, the brother questions you like, oh, I forgot. That's not honor. It's not honor. And I want to challenge you this morning in this church. That's our heartbeat. We want to honor God. And in the process, we honor people. Hallelujah. So what do we do? So we've covered who are we. So we are a movement of God-honoring believers. That is so easy to remember, right? A movement of God-honoring believers. Secondly, what do we do? What do we do? It is so important for you to be able to answer that. What do we do as a church? So we progressively disciple nations to become God-honoring. So what we do is to disciple people. It is so important to see here that there is discipling that needs to be done, but there is a way that it is done. It is done progressively. And it speaks to me saying, I want to get involved in your life. So you come just as you are, but I believe with the power of God, you cannot remain just as you are. You go on a journey where you are transformed from glory to glory. You go on a journey where you grow until you become, you have the full stature of Christ is built in you. Glory be to God. So this is what we do. We disciple nations on a progression. So you come just as you are, but we say, let's go on a journey. Your marriage is not doing well, we say, let's go on a journey. Your child is not doing well, we say, let's go on a journey. So if you are passionate about discipling people, you're in the right place. Hello, somebody? We progressively disciple nations to become God-honoring. You see, when Jesus left the earth, he gave a command, a very simple command in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and I shall be with you till the end. That's the Great Commission. He did not say, therefore go and build so many churches, go start so many businesses. In other words, everything that we do must bring us back to discipling somebody. If you're running a business, it must allow you to disciple a nation. If you're building a church, it must bring you back to discipling a people. When you are getting married, it must bring you back to disciple nations. Glory be to God. All of these things are means to an end. The end is discipling nations for them to be reconnected with their Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And therefore, we must always ask ourselves, whatever we're doing right now, does it enable us to disciple somebody? If the answer is no, we need to think twice before we do it. It means that we must put our money where our mouth is. If I'm to spend some money here as a pastor, I must always ask myself, how does this investment enable us to disciple people? If that investment is to enrich me and my wife, we must stop it in Jesus' name. That's not the reason why the people of God offer in this church. No. If it is to buy me a new vehicle, no. We are not going to do that. Does somebody hear me this morning? It must never be about us living a comfortable life. And let me say this, we don't draw a salary from the church. That's what it is right now. And therefore, whatever we contribute to the well-being of this church, whatever we give to this church, we are all saying, how do we ensure that this becomes a reality? Even one day when I get paid, I don't know when that day is, even if it doesn't come, it doesn't matter by me. The point is, whatever we give in this church, it should lead us to that place of discipling nations. Does somebody hear me this morning? So one day when you hear me coming here and say, guys, we need to give, don't even think this guy wants to change or buy a new suit. No. I must say I'm well provided for. So that's okay. The Lord has been very good to us. And so whatever we do here, guys, we are singing from the hymn, same hymn sheet. Let's contribute. We are on the trenches together. Now, progressively discipling nations. Just allow me to clean my nose. All right. Let's keep going. So, you see, for you and I to be able to disciple nations, it means that we've got to be discipled first. We've got to invest in ourselves. We've got to grow. And that is why we believe in self-growth. We believe that people need to go on a growth pattern for themselves. You've got to ask yourself, Am I the same right now as I was at the beginning of the year? Has there been growth in my life? Because we need you to grow in order to disciple the next person. Now, can I tell you what qualifies you to disciple the next person? You don't have to have gone to theological school. You don't have to have earned a degree. You just need to be one step ahead. You hear me? Just one step ahead. If you've been married 1 year in your marriage, you are able to help another couple that is in courtship because you have crossed a line that they haven't crossed. Have you started a business and something is happening in your business? You qualify to encourage somebody. Why? Because you are just one step ahead. And I want to ask you today, is there an area that you feel you're one step ahead of somebody in the church? If you are like that, you qualify. Are you born again today? Have you given your life to Jesus? You qualify to share the gospel. You qualify to disciple somebody. That's all we need. Let me try and see if I can finish this. How do we do it? How do we do it? We do this by communicating and demonstrating the kingdom of God. Two key words, communication and demonstration. There is a place to communicate, but there is a place to demonstrate. You see, somebody says, by teaching somebody, you pass on what you know. But by modeling, you pass on yourself. Come on now. When you teach, you tell us what's there. But when you demonstrate, you pass on what's here. What's in your heart? My kids learn more by watching their old men than me telling them, you shall not do that, you shall not do that. I remember we went on holiday in December. We were in Jeffreys Bay. We hired a vehicle. So we were there, the shopping center. Jeffreys Bay, those who've been there, it's a windy place. It's windy. So there we were, coming out of my vehicle, and my daughter opens her door, and the wind blows the door onto another car. Right? Boom. I'm like, yo. Now what? So I'm like, the guy is not there. I'm calculating now. What's the value of that damage there? I looked at my hired car. It's not really damaged. I'm like, okay, this is fine. So I'm like, hey. So now my character is getting tested. So you can teach the kids. Guys, you have to be honest. You have to be a person of integrity. But right there, the rubber is hitting the road. What am I going to do? So I'm like, okay, guys, Benis, don't worry. It's okay. So I took out a paper, write down my number. I'm like, hey, listen, I opened my door onto your car. Here is my number. Contact me in front of the windscreen. In a couple of hours, this is JT. His name is JP. This is JP. You left. And the guy firstly says, you know what? This has never happened to me. You're probably the only guy who would do this. I said to him, listen, just get your car, get a quote. And it so happened the guy is from Gesina. We're in Jeffreys Bay. The guy is from here, Pretoria North. But to cut the long story short, we ended up paying to fix his car. I didn't have to do that. It was easier to forget about it. It was easier to tell Andrew and Benis, guys, if this happens, you mustn't run away. But right now, guys, you need to understand, we are on holiday. This guy is hired. We don't even know this guy. But in life, guys, just be honest. Doesn't work like that. We paid. I tell you, I can phone that guy now and connect with him. I'm okay with him watching me preaching. Because he now knows. So even the last time we paid, he was still saying, you know what, you have taught me a lesson. I want to teach the same lesson to my kids. That is what we're talking about, demonstration. It's easy to teach. But when you are tested, may the Lord give you the grace to demonstrate kingdom life. To demonstrate what it means to honor God. One day you're going to be speeding down N4. And they say, you've been speeding. What are you going to do? And the guy will say to you, this problem can go away. What are you going to do? This problem can go away. But this is what we do in our church, to communicate and to demonstrate. We communicate by teaching the word. That is why when you come into our church, we teach series. We will, from time to time, we'll do onesies, you know, once at a time we'll do, you know, but we want to teach the word principle upon principle. So that when you leave that portion, you fully understand what we're talking about. Okay? There are a lot of graces that operate in this church, but the main grace is a teaching grace. Now, if you are looking for a grace that is very strong on word of knowledge and the prophetic, when the pastor can look at you and tell you your number and when you were born and what you were doing last night, you might not get it here. I want to be honest with you. From time to time, the Lord will give me a word of knowledge. The Lord will give me a prophetic word. And I desire the prophetic. I desire to operate in it. But I know that that is not my strong gift. So if you want that, come ask me. I'll refer you to a church that does that. I want to be honest with you. Otherwise, if I say to you guys, I can tell you what you're doing last night. No, I'll be lying to you. But I can tell you the Lord gives me word and I teach the word. That is my grace. Glory be to God. And if that is what you're looking for, you are in the right place. We will teach you to operate in the prophetic. We'll teach you to operate in healing, in miracles, and in the power gifts. But that's not the main gift. We've done Victory Sundays here and we've seen God doing things here. It's because the fivefold ministry has to function in the body of Christ for us to attain to the full stature of Christ. But the Bible says he gave some to be apostles, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors. So it's important for us to understand what grace operates in this church. Because I'm not going to help you if you come to me and say, Pastor, tell me what I dreamt last night. I can't help you with that. But I can teach you how to interpret dreams. I can say, look at scripture. This is what this would mean. I thought it's important to lay down that foundation. To create the right level of expectation. Hallelujah. So we teach the word and then we demonstrate. So what it means, we aspire for a balance between the word and the spirit. Now, you'd find that in a church where it is just too strong on the word, the danger there is it can become very legalistic. And a church that is too strong on the spirit, you can become very mystic. We want to strike the balance. So if God has called you into the prophetic, we want to stir that gift up. We will not stifle it in Jesus' name. So you're in the right place. So, so important. Now, what are we saying this morning? We are saying every transformed believer is able to live and to demonstrate a life of honor. You are able to live and demonstrate a life of honor. Let me read the last scripture. And then we're going to wrap this up. Matthew 5 verse 13. Matthew 5 verse 13. The Bible says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and to be trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the grain measure, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Now, the last thing that I want to share here is, how do we express our vision? The expression of our vision. If you look behind me here, I've got 5 pillars. These are the areas that we believe God has called us to express the vision of this church. The first area is making disciples. It is so important that we rise up to really have a passion for disciples, making of disciples. The Lord Jesus said to the man as he was drawing them into his apostolic group, he says, "I will turn you into fishers of men." It is so important that we rise up and we have a passion for disciples. Number 2, building families. There is a grace on this church as well on building families. That is why we are not a program-driven church. I used to be in a church where there was something on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7 days, 8 days a week in church. We are saying no. The strength of this church is determined by the strength of the families in the church. When we have strong families, we have a strong church. Glory be to God. And therefore, building families is very important. Raising of leaders is a key issue in our church. Transforming of society. That is why we teach you, you know, our teaching is very reform. It's a reformation type of teaching where it's not about give me, my name is Jimmy. So when you come into our teachings, you find that we're not so much into me. We're saying out. Release what you have. We empower you to be a blessing. So I will teach you a word that you're able to apply at work tomorrow. That you're able to apply in your environment, transforming our societies. And lastly, establishing churches. Do you feel there's a calling of your life to plant churches? You're in the right place. In the right time, we will send you out. We will support you to plant a new work for the Lord. Glory be to God. That is who we are as a church. In one line, identity of God Church is this: God honoring in all. In all of life, we don't believe in the dichotomous view of secular and sacred. No. We believe we have one life that God has given us. Your workplace is not secular. It is sacred, very spiritual. There are people who go to sangomas at your workplace for promotion, and you tell me it's secular. No. It's sacred. There's something spiritual about wherever you are planted. And therefore, you have to be alert in the spirit. So when we teach you, we don't say it's only the sacred where you can serve. No. If God has called you into business, we want to pray for you. Go operate in that business. Glory be to God. Has God called you into the education mountain? Go into it and be a blessing there. We'll empower you. We'll support you to be what God has called you to be. Hallelujah. That is who we are. That is God Church. And it's so important that as you are hearing this teaching, you ask yourself, is this something that I'm prepared to lay down my life for? Is this a vision that resonates with me? And I want you to know that when you build somebody else's vision, in the process, the Lord will build your vision. When Joseph was interpreting Pharaoh's dream, in the process, his vision became a reality. His dream became a reality. By the grace of God, I've moved 3 churches in my life. I've been born again since 93. My first 7 years, I was under a certain ministry. 7 years, relocated to university. I was in Cape Town for 10 years. I served under a ministry. Ministered there, laid down my life for 10 years. The Lord moved me, came to Centurion, served under Pastor Paul for 7 years. I knew God had called me. The Lord called me in 1995. I knew the Lord had called me into something. But for those years, I felt the Lord is saying, lay down your life. I remember in Cape Town, some guys would come back and would ask my pastor, hasn't Michael planted his own church? No, it wasn't time. It was time to sit under somebody else's vision and serve faithfully. And one of my prayers, and the Bible tells us in Galatians, do not be deceived. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. And my prayers has been to the Lord, Lord, you know how I faithfully served these three men. Lord, bless me with faithful people. I can pray that prayer, not from a place of arrogance, but from a place of understanding the principle of sowing and reaping. It doesn't matter in what ministry God has called you. The way you treat me, you will be treated. People will treat you that way. If you are giving a hot-hearted service here, don't worry. You're going to come back. Press down, shaken together. Running over, man will pour into your bosom. But if you serve with all your heart here, one day is called a day of reaping. Glory be to God. Harvest will come. Hallelujah. That's my encouragement for you today. As you're making a decision as to, am I going to be found in church every Sunday? Am I going to be faithful serving here? Or I will just come with a chip on my shoulder? No. Listen, my friend. Reaping time. There's a flat that we own, we're renting out. I'm praying the same prayer. Lord, we rented, we were paying rent even before the month end for these people. Why can't this person be faithful in paying his rent? I sowed in a certain way, and I've seen God answering that prayer. Glory be to God. You see, there are certain things that you do in your life that qualifies you to pray certain prayers. I'm teaching good right there. Lest you're missing out something. I'm just saying, I'm telling you from my heart, I'm speaking as a father right here, that there are certain prayers you cannot make unless you have lived out certain principles. And when you live them out, you will reap. As we come to the end, I want us to, I've got some bookmarkers here. These bookmarkers have got just a snippet of the vision of this church. You can put it in your Bible. If you want, if you don't want, it's okay. Don't feel manipulated around these things. But I thought as I was preparing, I want to give you something that you can take home with, that you can put in your Bible. I have it already in my Bible. It's a bookmarker that you'll be able to put in your Bible as a reminder of who we are. The Lord will continue speaking to you. The Lord will continue encouraging you and challenging you. Maybe it's around an area of serving. Maybe it's around giving. Maybe it's around having a cell group in your house. Glory be to God. To say, I want to disciple somebody. I want to be part and parcel of what God is doing. Glory be to God. Now, as we come to the end of this service, I want us to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. And I'm going to ask the ushers just to start giving out the elements. I want us to have Holy Communion from a place of commitment and of unity around the vision that God has given us. Maybe it's your first time here. It's an opportunity to ask, Lord, is this what you want me to get involved in? You know? But around Holy Communion, I see this as an intimate moment of a family. I see this as a moment of knitting our hearts together, where you're saying, the same way that Jesus gave and laid down his life for me, I want to lay down my life for Jesus. I want to lay down my life for this vision so that I can see it becoming a reality. As I'm talking, I want you to just think about it in your heart and say, what role do you see yourself playing in this vision? And allow the Spirit of Jesus to speak to you right now. Maybe you are at that point in your life where you're feeling disconnected with this vision. Because maybe you've been here too long, for 5 years, and you're feeling a bit like, there must be something better. But you know very well God called you to this ministry. It's a time of recommitment. It's a time of saying, I'm in it for the long haul. I want to make a difference in this vision. I want to make a difference in this vision of honoring believers. If you have children, your children will grow in the right environment in this church. I can tell you that. By the grace of God, we'll run away from scandals as a church. In Jesus' name. It has happened to the best of men. And therefore, I cannot stand here and say, it will never happen to me. But what I can say, my heart is to please God. My heart is to honor God. And that's my commitment to you. I want your children to love God so much that they'll say, I just like how that pastor does things. I want to go to church because I just like the way he does things. I want to be an example to your children. I want our marriage, we're going 16 years this year. 16 years. I want our marriage to speak to your marriage, to challenge you and say, we can do better. We can also go on dates because Mom Root and Pam Root are on a date. Come on now. That's what we desire to do. Glory be to God. But the Bible says in the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. So I want you to open up your bread. This is the body of Jesus Christ by faith. The bread represents the body that was bruised for us. The body that was abused for us. The Bible says after he had broken, he gave thanks to the Lord. He gave to them and said, eat. This is my body that is given for you. In the same manner, I want us to go ahead right now and eat this bread that represents the body of Jesus. Shall we do so together? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, take your body. That in the same way that you laid down your life,